This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is Season 2, Episode 21. Now, before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to Dave Jenkins for sitting in for me. I had family in town, and so I basically didn't do anything last week. I was spending that time with family that I don't really get to see very often, and so I asked Dave if he could put together an episode on redemption, and boy, he really hit it out of the park. It was a fantastic episode. When I listened to it, I told him that there were parts where I just got goosebumps, that it was so good. So I would actually strongly encourage you to share that episode on redemption with your friends, because Dave just did an outstanding job with that. So Dave, thank you for sitting in for me. I know that you were happy to do it, I was blown away. Not that I had any doubts, but it went beyond my expectations. I completely saturated with scripture. He left no stone unturned. And that is what we need. So share that episode, and Dave, thank you. Now also, if you follow me on Instagram, if you follow the show page on Instagram, it is for_life_and_godliness, I believe is what it is. You could probably just also type in the search for life and godliness. There are some new posts up there with me and my friend Joel Sedekes. Well, I was interviewed a couple weeks ago by Joel for his podcast, and there's video on YouTube, and it's on all the podcast catchers. But we were talking about Bible translations. Which Bible translation is best? Which one should you use for personal study or family devotions? It was a really fun time, and that episode is out. So if you've seen that on the Instagram, hopefully you've gone and checked out that interview. It was a lot of fun. Joel and I are planning on getting together again, and hopefully I'm going to bring him on this show, and I don't even know what we're going to talk about yet. I mean, there's such a wide range of topics that we could discuss. I mean, Joel is very knowledgeable in very many things, and he has a passion for teaching Bible, teaching men, especially discipleship. So I may bring him on, and we may just freestyle an episode. You never know. Just see where it goes. And sometimes those are the most fun episodes to do. But hopefully you will check that out, Bible translations. And I would encourage you join the Think Institute on Facebook as well. That's where, Joel posts a lot of questions that are very, interesting questions that'll get you to think sometimes. Sometimes you know the answer, but sometimes it's fun to see what other people say as well. It's always good to see, some of these discussions taking place. And he asks very, very good leading questions that start conversations and get them going. So follow the Think Institute, but you can also join a group, and it's a private group. So you have to answer a couple of questions to get into the group, but it's the Think Squad, I believe it is. But it's really, really good. So if you want to learn more and be a part of some in-depth discussions, join them. But on today's episode, we are post-Easter. And now this Easter, I listened to several Easter sermons. You know, of course, I attended the church that I'm an elder of. But I also listened to some other sermons from some other churches, and there were some things that I was really blown away by. Things such as preaching self rather than magnifying Christ. I was listening to one pastor talking through 1 Corinthians 4, and, you know, quite honestly, when I listened to it, I had a hard time figuring out, okay, is he talking about 1 Corinthians 4 here? Because what he's saying has nothing to do with the text. Instead, he was preaching himself and preaching the other elders in his church and how they're servants and this, that, and the other thing. And so it was very self-focused. Another sermon I heard was from a sunrise service where the guest preacher, speaking of Christ, when he died on the cross, he said when Christ died, he transformed from, this is while he's in the grave, he transformed from the flesh into the divine in order to go down and rescue the captives out of hell. And then when he resurrected again, he transformed back into the flesh. And the whole time I'm listening to this, I'm going, this is heresy. Because Jesus didn't transform into the divine. Jesus has always been divine. I mean, just go back to the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Where he reveals his glory right there. Jesus has always been divine. And it's a later theory that Jesus went to hell and just in general, but the idea that he went to go rescue people from hell, well, that's not in Scripture. We don't see that anywhere. We see him in the grave, yes, but what is that a picture of? The picture is that of expiation, carrying our sins away from us as far as they can go. So Jesus takes our sin to the cross. He dies as the sacrifice in our place, satisfying the wrath of God. And then he takes that sin into the grave, carrying it as far away as it can go from us. And then he rises, leaving that sin in the grave. And so I'm listening to this pastor and I'm going, he completely missed the point. Completely missed it. And then in that same church service, after the sunrise service, it was, you know, they had the regular service with the regular pastor. And this isn't the first time I've heard him say this, especially on Easter. He said this, the same, very same thing, I think 2 years ago. The idea that we all have our Fridays, just like Jesus had his Friday. But Sunday's coming, so we need to be focused on our Sunday whenever we're going through a Friday. I'm sorry, but this completely misses the point. Because Easter is not about us. It's about Christ. The cross. Now we are beneficiaries of what Christ did. Because we receive salvation, and we receive that by faith. But Easter is not about us understanding that, well, Christ had a Friday, but he knew that Sunday was coming. And so, you know, we have trials and we have Fridays that we go through, but Sunday is coming. Okay, what does that even mean? I'm sorry, but Scripture's clear that if you're a Christian, you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through tribulation. You are going to go through persecution. So, in earthly means, what does a Sunday look like if my Sunday's coming? Now, I know what eternity looks like. What Paul said, the sufferings of this world, you know, they pale in comparison to the future glory. I have something to look forward to And that is to depart from this world and to be with Christ. But what does it mean that, okay, if I go through a trial here, that's my Friday, but then what's my Sunday here? What does that even mean? And then in this same sermon, the idea that it was the devil that put Christ on the cross, it was the devil that did all these things to Christ. Okay, we give Satan a lot more power than he actually has. And we need to stop that. We view Satan, and I'm just speaking in general terms, we view Satan as another sovereign. There's God, and then there's Satan. And they're both in control. No. There is only one sovereign, and that is the Lord. Satan is nothing more than a created being, and the power that Satan has is only given to him by the Lord. He can only do what the Lord allows him to do. He cannot go beyond that. He's not stronger than the Lord. And so when we talk about, or when I was listening to this idea that it was Satan who was coming against Christ, and that it was Satan who was doing these things, putting Christ on the cross and doing all these things to Christ, I go, have you not read your Bible? Especially the book of Acts. Now, because there's two places I want to take you to real quick. The first is in Acts 2. Peter's sermon. Acts 2, verse 23. Now, he's talking about Christ. He's testifying of who Christ was. Okay, Peter's sermon begins in verse 14 of chapter 2, and then it carries all the way on until verse 36, I believe. But in there, in his testifying about Christ, talking about Christ, he says, "This man," meaning Christ, "delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God." So, Christ was what? The cross was what? Christ going to the cross, suffering the way he did. What was that? The predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Okay, predetermined plan of God. It was God's plan. The cross has always been plan A. Always. Now, what is the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God? Well, we can simply go from there to Isaiah 53. Now, we know Isaiah 53 is a messianic passage. You can't read Isaiah 53 and not come away going, well, that's talking about Jesus. We know it's speaking of Christ. And so in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief." Now, we know the him is Christ, the Messiah. "If he," the Messiah, "would render himself as a guilt offering." Satan didn't do this. This was the Lord offering up himself on our behalf, and it was done by the predetermined plan of God. Now, why did it please God to crush the Son? Because sin has to be paid for. The wrath of God needs to be satisfied. And that is what Christ did. Christ wasn't just the substitute that died in our place. He was the sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God. So that now when God looks at us, once we have repented of our sin and we have come to faith in Christ, God looks at us no longer as an enemy, but now as a friend. Because of the predetermined plan of God. Not because Satan was doing it. And who did God use For his predetermined plan, he used the hands of sinful men, as Peter tells us. The hands of godless men put him to death. But this was not something devised by Satan in order for him to try to get rid of Jesus. This was always the plan. And so now, what do we do after the resurrection? What do we do? Because Christ died, he was in the grave, and then he rose. So the tomb is empty. But what do we do with that? Well, understanding that, and let me tell you, this going back to Dave's episode on redemption, that should cause us to worship even more. Because the whole purpose of us even gathering on the Lord's Day on Sundays is because Christ rose on Sunday. Easter's not a once in a year thing for the Christian. Easter is to be a weekly celebration because of the simple fact that we gather on the Lord's Day, the day that he rose. That's what John called called Sunday, the Kyriake Hemera, the Lord's Day, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. So every Sunday that we gather is a celebration of Christ's resurrection and what that means for us who have salvation. So now what do we do? Well, it should cause us to submit our lives to him. It should cause us to adore him. It should cause us to want to rid ourselves of sin on a daily basis. It should cause us to continually look inside of us and say, my heart is so impure. Lord, will you make me whole? Will you cleanse me? We should want nothing more than to live our lives for Christ. So we don't come out of Easter just looking for the next Easter. We don't come out of Easter going, okay, well now let's prepare for Christmas. We come out of Easter looking for the next week, or actually we should say the next day, because the only reason that, I mean, honestly, we can even live day to day is through the power of Christ. But we live in light of the resurrection. I mean, that's what makes our Christian walk meaningful, the resurrection. Paul says, if it weren't for the resurrection, if the resurrection didn't happen, we are the most to be pitied. Because that means our belief is in vain. And so, what do we do with the resurrection? Well, it should be what guides us and moves us to live holy. Because Christ resurrected. And because Christ resurrected, I know that when my time comes to depart from this world, I will resurrect. You will resurrect, Christian. Because Christ resurrected, the Christian will resurrect. It's what gives us hope. So what do we do post-resurrection? Well, we should evermore seek to purge sin from our life. We should look at the resurrection as something that gives us hope. That once we depart from here, yes, we too will resurrect to be with our Lord. What we should do with Easter, with the resurrection, rejoice. I mean, and really, I'm not saying anything different that I haven't said in all the other episodes. But it's because of the resurrection that we get to do these things. It's what makes all these other things meaningful. The resurrection is what makes holy living meaningful. And so, I hope that is some encouragement to you. I meant to touch on the theatrics at Michael Todd's church. I didn't quite get there. But I will just say, if you follow Michael Todd, stop. He is an abomination. He is an apostate. He is a false teacher. One is just because he doesn't teach the gospel. He teaches nonsense. He's a prosperity. He's one of these new, hip, young prosperity gospel teachers. But their Easter service was absolutely disgraceful. It was nothing but pandering to secular, worldviews. That's all it was. It was nothing that a Christian should be a part of. And if people were there claiming to be Christians and celebrating what was going on there, they need to check their heart, because they are heading in the opposite direction of where Christ is. Christ was not in that service of Michael Todd's, Michael Todd's performance theater. I'm not even going to call it a church. It's a performance theater. With that, I'm going to head out of here. I hope that was, something of an encouragement to you, that the resurrection is what makes our walk with Christ and our holy living unto Christ meaningful. Until next time, seek to live for the glory of God. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.